KNOM Update News. I'm Margaret DeMaribis, and it's 9:02. A Cessna 172 owned by the Kuskokwim School District crashed on the Kuskokwim River on Tuesday. The pilot and both passengers were injured in the crash. KYUK's Mark Arhart spoke with Alaska State Troopers, who report the crash happened before 5 p.m. Tuesday, just after takeoff from the Kalskag Airport. Trooper spokesperson Beth Ipson says little is known about the cause of the crash, but weather may have been a factor.
While trying to fly the river, the airplane crashed onto the ice-covered river, causing it to flip over.
Ipson says responders from Upper Kalskag, including medical personnel, were at the scene. She says those injured in the crash include 44-year-old pilot Steve Bruckner of Aniak and his two passengers, 55-year-old Brian Foley of Aniak and 55-year-old Roy Guernsey of Anchorage. Ipson says all three suffered undisclosed injuries and were medevaced. Guernsey was flown to Providence Medical Center in Anchorage, while Bruckner and Foley were flown to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Regional Hospital in Bethel. Kuskokwim School District Superintendent Brad Allen says Bruckner and Foley were district employees, while Guernsey was a contractor for the school district. Allen says Bruckner and Foley were treated and released. Guernsey is still receiving medical attention in Anchorage. Ipson says Guernsey is listed in stable condition. The case was scheduled to be handed over to the National Transportation Safety Board Wednesday. Alaska's Professional Teaching Practices Commission has yet to meet to discuss a Nome Public Schools personnel investigation. PTPC was scheduled to meet January 28th, but had to reschedule due to a family emergency for one of the commission members. The reason for the investigation has not been made public. Nome's Board of Education President Betsy Brennan says the school board is aware of complaints made by Nome Public School staff to the PTPC.
We know that the PTPC is conducting their own investigation, and we can't comment on the matter because it's a personnel issue that by law is confidential. And while we wait for the PTPC to conduct its work, the board has taken steps to ensure that our employees' rights are protected. The board is held to a different standard where we can't speak to personnel issues.
Patricia Truman, executive director for PTPC, also could not provide any comment on the investigation, saying it is confidential. Brennan says that several board members and the district lawyer have attempted to obtain information, but the commission will not provide any due to the confidentiality. As the board now waits, Brennan emphasizes that steps have been taken to ensure protection of current employees. She says action will be taken once results from the PTPC investigation are provided to the board.
We appreciate the public's concern. We know that there is concern out there, and we take this very seriously.
At the November 13th Board of Education meeting, community member Erna Rasmussen encouraged the district to put this individual on leave and expressed her concerns for student and teacher safety. Rasmussen later expressed frustration that her comments were not fully included in the board's meeting minutes. Brennan says public comment is always welcome during board meetings and clarifies how meeting minutes are transcribed.
What happens in the minutes is that it is summarized. And that is the case with Mrs. Rasmussen's comments. They were summarized. They are in the November minutes, and all board members approved those minutes when it came up in December.
Brennan says the primary reason for minutes to be recorded is that action items voted on are properly recorded and that the district has a record of the votes. She adds that even board members' comments are summarized in the minutes. Nothing is written verbatim. This is a standard that's been in place since Brennan has been going to school board meetings. If you have any critical information that may assist in this personnel investigation, you can call the PTPC at 907-269-6579. The PTPC's rescheduled meeting is set for February 15th. Shipping traffic has increased dramatically in the Bering Straits over the last few years. At Tuesday's Bering Straits Maritime Symposium in Nome, Coast Guard Commander James Houck shared his Russian counterpart's statistics on increased shipping. Transported cargo increased from 8 million tons in 2011 to 3 billion tons in 2012.
2017, he anticipates an 8 times increase, and in 2020, it doubles again. He believes that these are very conservative estimates. This is just an explosion. in traffic waiting to happen.
Representatives from Nome, Savonga, Shishmaref, Brevig Mission, Wales, and other coastal communities gathered at the Mini Convention Center to discuss their top concerns regarding increased shipping traffic in the Bering Straits. Symposium participants heard about the Coast Guard strategy to contain traffic in a recommended route and federal and state oil response strategies on day one. Day two of the symposium focused on charting and mapping strategies and updates on a new UAF research vessel headed to Western Alaska's waters in 2014. But the biggest concern at the symposium was how to protect subsistence hunting and how to make sure maritime regulations take hunters' needs into account. Vera Metcalf of the Alaska Eskimo Walrus Commission reported five Alaska Native organizations have joined together to represent subsistence hunters at a federal and international level. Their goal, to maintain food security and healthy marine mammal populations from St. Lawrence Island to the Beaufort Sea. Jack Omilak of the Alaska Nanuk Commission.
It represents the opportunity for Arctic subsistence users to have some form of input into these international and federal processes that are going to be dealing with port access routes and shipping lanes and increased shipping and tourism and all of that.
The coalition formed at a conference in Maine last September. Metcalf said they submitted 10 recommendations to the U.S. Coast Guard to protect marine mammal populations. Among the recommendations, zero discharge in waters, placing Alaska Native seal observers on large vessels, and more.
One of the recommendations that we came up with was because of the large number of marine mammals of several species within our waters and subsistence hunting crews during spring and fall migration, we recommend that international vessels should transit to the east of St. Lawrence Island and at least 10 miles offshore during the migration.
Coast Guard Commander James Houck said he has forwarded his response to Metcalf and looks forward to working with the Arctic Marine Mammal Commission in the years to come. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is down $4.70 an ounce to $1,673.60. Silver is down 43 cents an ounce to $31.52. Zinc is at 97 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive a little early at 9:13 and expected to depart at 10:02. It's unofficially 5 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.